Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get a little bit more on what's going on with the NBA, in particular the Cavaliers and Knicks last night, which could be a matchup we see at the end of the season as well. John Schumann for NBA.com, some power rankings out right now. He is on the Fan hotline. John, are you there? Please say you're there because we're having trouble with the phone lines, but yes?
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Hi, John.
Yes, we're excited. All right. I feel good about that. The only thing I don't feel good is it's kind of an interesting day for the NBA I really want to talk about the Cavs and Knicks from last night. Just your take on what's going on with the NBA this morning. And obviously there's some misguidings, I think probably the best way to put it, with one current head coach and a couple players and just gambling, and not really a great day for the NBA.
Yeah, personally, I don't know anything about it. Right. It's not good news, obviously, but we'll just have to see, you know, how things play out long term.
We would expect the league to say something soon, don't you think? I mean, that's the only other. I'm just wondering.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm sure either there'll be a statement or there'll be a response to like a reporter's inquiry where a spokesman will respond to something, you know, that a reporter puts out. So we'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see. I'm sure that'll come shortly, though.
Okay.
John, were you in Madison Square Garden last night, correct?
Yeah.
First of all, Cavs had Evan Mobley doing things that we've all wanted him to see. That went away in the second half, but Donovan Mitchell went nuts in the third and they came back. And it's so hard to judge an offense based on guys being out. But what did you think about Mobley in particular and then Donovan in particular?
Well, it definitely had Mobley handling the ball a lot more. I think there was some good and bad in that. And Mitchell, you know, got them back in the game with like his two sort of like mini heaters that he went on. I just think in general, they just didn't generate great shots. Like if you look, we have like a metric, like expected field goal percentage, like based on the shots that you take. And the Knicks was much higher than the Cavs last night. And if you look, like the three most efficient ways to score are at the free throw line, on layups and dunks, and on corner threes. And the score of that game last night, on free throws in the restricted area and corner threes, was 88-39 in favor of the Knicks. Wow. It just tells you like the Knicks got better shots. They got more shots. I'm actually frankly surprised that the game was as close as it was. And it was as close as it was because Donovan Mitchell made some tough shots, but in the long run, like, you would prefer to generate good shots, right, from whoever's taking them, whoever's open, than have your star, you know, try to make tough ones, right? So I think their offense, I think Kenny Atkinson called it clunky, and I would definitely agree. I just think over 48 minutes, they just didn't gain enough advantages and generate enough good shots with their offense. Yeah, and part of that, sure, is the new faces. Part of it is, you know, it's game one of the season. I just think, I don't know, maybe they, I don't know if they were in a little bit still in preseason mode, but it felt it a little bit, especially in the first half.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the Knicks with Mike Brown, too? Because I was watching last night, and Jeff and I were talking about this, to watch New York and see how they play. And I know they're dealing with some injuries, too. But, you know, what's the vibe, what's the feeling with him as the head coach now?
I think they've bought in. I mean, like, just from watching last night, you think they've sort of bought in into trying, you know, number one thing he wants them to do is get the ball across half court faster. If you looked at, like, the Knicks numbers, and especially if you watch their playoff games, they lived in the shot, late in the shot clock too much, right? Like, late shot clock shots are generally not good shots, and they took a lot of them. And so if they just get the ball across half court faster, then they have more time to get a better shot. And I think they're doing that a bit better. I mean, just look at their first possession of the game. They got a wide open corner three for Jalen Brunson, who was standing in the corner as Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby handled the ball. Like, that's different, right? Like, the fact that he, you know, doesn't have to handle the ball as much. It's funny, like, last night we saw Jalen Brunson handle the ball a lot less than he usually does, and we saw Evan Mobley handle the ball a lot more than he usually does. I think in both cases, it's, you know, it's going to be a work in progress, but I think the Knicks look better. I thought their defense was also good. I thought, you know, the Cavs not generating good shots was in part due to the Knicks, I think, were pretty on point defensively.
John Schumann joining us from NBA.com. John, last year the Cavs had the great start and nobody caught them, and they were really good and disappointing then in the playoffs. This is year four of Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland with Darius and Evan and Jarrett. What do you expect out of this team this year? And what if this team doesn't reach what most folks think is something they need to do, which is at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals, if not win the East and get to the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I mean, coming in, I think I would have, I did, you know, have them ahead of the Knicks as far as where I think the East should land. And that's partly, mostly because, one, they finished 13 games ahead of the Knicks in the standings last year. They both lost to the same team in the playoffs. The Cavs were obviously banged up a little bit against Indiana. I do think they need to be better than they were. Like, you know, I did a little story just like breaking down some of their defensive issues in that Indiana series. And a lot of it was basic stuff, you know, communication, being able to stay in front. We saw some of the issues a little bit last night with Jared Allen sort of struggling to defend on the perimeter, guys beating him off the dribble. So, yeah, I think they should be the favorite in the East just because I think, you know, just coming off of last year, they were the much better team. And I like the additions of Ball and Nance long-term. But yeah, like if they do come up short, if they don't make the finals, then obviously they've got to look at, all right, how do we get better? And that obviously means looking at trades of Garland and Allen and keeping Mitchell and Mobley. Obviously, like, that's, you know, I don't think that's breaking news to say that Mitchell and Mobley are the guys that would stay in that case. And then you'd see how can you retool around those two guys, whether it means maybe getting a little bit more versatile at the forward spots or you know, getting bigger at the guard spots. We'll see.
Your power rankings are out on NBA.com. Oklahoma City, number one. How far ahead are the Thunder compared to everybody else? And, you know, you got the Cavs in there at number three and then Denver at number two. How far ahead is Oklahoma City than you think the other teams are?
You know, it's a great question. A little bit less than last year. I think Denver made a few good, really good additions. I like the Porter for Cam Johnson trade. I like the additions of Bruce Brown and Valanciunas off the bench. So they should be, a little bit better. And of course, like, the Thunder are fantastic. Like, if there's a team that could sort of break the string of nobody repeating, it's OKC. They're so good last year, one of the best point differentials in NBA history. They're super young. They're bringing everybody back. Like, Holmgren and Jalen Williams should be better than they were last year. Guys like Cason Wallace, they can take steps forward. So they should be. But Denver has Nikola Jokic, and he is, if Oklahoma City is certainly better at spots 2 through 12 and on their roster, Denver has the guy that's a matchup advantage for any team on the planet. So that I will be, you know, Denver Oklahoma City games this year will be must watch for sure. And I you know, just the how good Jokic is, maybe one of the best players in NBA history, puts a little bit of doubt in the sort of the Thunder being able to repeat.
John, the Lakers are a team that we obviously keep an eye on here because of LeBron James being out there. How different is that going to look when he comes back with Luka clearly now, you know, the focal point of most everything they're doing there, and LeBron for the first time in his career probably not being the main man somewhere?
I'm fascinated to see how it works out.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
If you looked after Luka arrived, they were much better with Luka on the floor without LeBron than they were when the two guys were on the floor together. And that's not a good thing, like to have your two, you know, highest paid players and best players not work out very well. Now that's not it wasn't a huge sample size, and so like I'm not necessarily expecting that to be the case again this year, but it's certainly worth watching, is just to see how well the Lakers play when those two guys are on the floor together. And if it doesn't work out, and if it's not great, then like, does that mean LeBron's role is diminished? You know, do they look somewhere else? Like, I'm fascinated to see how it plays out. You know, it would stink if like LeBron's sort of career in LA ends on a sour note. Like, I don't want, you know, I don't think anybody wants to see that happen. He deserves to go out like, you know, on a high note, and to feel like he's, you know, not the focus in LA, and then maybe holding them back a little bit would stink.
I'm just curious, Kenny Atkinson in Cleveland, year number two, your thoughts on that. What do you think he learned last year, and where do you think he's going with his team this year?
That's a good question. I think the one thing he's talked about, right, is just having guys a little bit fitter so that they can play. Like, obviously, Indiana's probably not going to be the obstacle in the playoffs this year, but they learned a lesson from that series that, you know, they had a hard time keeping up with Indiana, especially defensively, and just how hard they play, how much they pick up, you know, full court with their pressure defense, how much the ball and the players move offensively. Like, that, they put a lot of pressure on you, and you've got to be ready for that. And I feel like the Cavs, as good as they were in the regular season, kind of like you guys said, they were so good at the start that they kind of had to coast through. They kind of were able to coast through the second half of the season. And then when they got to this team that just is so relentless with their activity, you know, they couldn't keep up. And so I feel like that's the, you know, number one priority is being able to handle a series like that better. Like I said, they just need to be, I feel like they need to be like 5% better defensively. They were eighth defensively last season, but like I'm sure they would prefer to be a little bit better. And then, yeah, maybe be a little bit deeper, you know, see if Jalen Tyson can work out long term, and then, you know, go from there.
John, as always, thank you. And I want to remind everyone to read your four takeaways. Knicks finished strong versus the Cavs from last night, plus your power rankings, where all 30 teams stand, and you can get that at NBA.com. John, thanks again. We do appreciate your time.
And your GM survey.
All right, guys, appreciate it.
Your GM survey was fabulous again, as
excellent.
Always.
Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks. All right. We'll talk to you soon, John. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Yep. John Schumann, nice enough to join us here this morning. Talk a little bit about the Cavs, also what's going on with the NBA. I'm still looking for what you thought of last night and, you know, where you are. Do you have concerns? It's one game. Like, right. Like, I just can't sit here and dissect everything about one game.
You are correct. You can't.
On 10/22. You know, it's.
Or 23.
Well, the game was on 10/22.
Oh, okay.
I just want to make sure.
Because you were dissecting on the 23rd.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you. A little Shedeur Sanders news coming up here in a second.
Oh,
Tommy
thank
Reese
God.
Was talking about him.
That's the first time today we've mentioned his name.
Shedeur.
I thought we'd have a complete failure of a show if we didn't get that in.
All right. So we'll hear what's the latest coming from the offensive coordinator on that.
Good.
But... Yeah. The NBA did release a statement, as John Schumann predicted, as I just asked him last night. I go, I got to believe the league's going to say something. And boom, maybe they were listening to us talking.
Statement from the NBA, quote, "We are in the process of reviewing the federal indictments announced today. Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups are being placed on immediate leave from their teams, and we will continue to cooperate with the relevant authorities. We take these allegations with the utmost seriousness, and the integrity of our game remains the top priority."
That's beautiful.
How would Coach Stefanski give that statement? Sorry. That's all I can think about.
You want to do it?
Yeah, right, go for it. I mean, it's been such a...
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Buckle up.
Yeah, Andy, we are in the process of reviewing the federal indictments announced today by FBI Director Kash Patel and the Department of Justice. Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups will be placed on immediate leave from their respective teams, and we will continue to cooperate with the relevant authorities. We take these allegations with the utmost seriousness, and the integrity of our game will always remain our top priority.
And what will they be doing in the rooms?
Yeah, Andy, we would like to remain what takes place in our rooms to remain private between the people inside of those rooms, those four walls, and the relevant information involved in those rooms.
And will there be any grass on the floor?
Andy, I respect the question of you asking about the grass inside of those rooms
and the prominence of that grass. Do you understand the question?
I understand your care about chlorophyll and foliage and everything that is involved in it. But at this time, we cannot comment on that.
All right. Good enough. There you have it. That is how it would go down. All right. Again, we're going to get to the Shedeur Sanders news, which I think is interesting. I can't wait to hear what it is. But I do want to take a couple more phone calls here as we talk about the Cavaliers and what we saw last night. Again, we're having some trouble with the phone lines. And Dan, there's like some kind of reason because we've got data center issues.
Yeah, so there's data center issues across the whole East Coast right now going on. And because we have our internet through the phones, we're just kind of rolling the dice, as I'm sure a lot of you are right now at your respective jobs running into internet issues. So... Yeah, 'tis the world we live.
Shouldn't probably talk about rolling dice with everything going on today.
Well, that didn't seem to be an issue. I don't think dice was an issue in this one.
We didn't say we're going to flip our cards over.
There were no craps games going on.
Yeah.
We had no craps games.
We're not going to see what the, you know, we're going to pull the machine and see how it's rigged.
Thought it would be a chance for a cheap little fun ploy.
No, and really, whatever you do, don't show your hands with those glasses on.
No, exactly.
No. Yeah, I just don't want to.
We mentioned nothing of such.
Corey, please be on the line. How are you, Corey?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
All right, we got
Corey.
State your case, my friend.
Man, listen. Man, NBA, wow. Woo. But anything. But listen, what I saw about the Cavs yesterday, I love what I saw. If I had to critique something, the same thing we saw last year with this team, I saw yesterday.
Ah, man, if that wasn't on cue.
Maybe that was Cool Ray's phone.
No, there's no way. Oh, no. Jeff in Cleveland, let's see if we roll the dice with you. Hi, Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I just feel like every time I say hello to somebody today, it's going to be a, you know, it's 50-50. Go ahead.
Yeah, I may have to avoid those for a smidge.
Yeah. One more try or no? That was two strikes.
I mean,
you want to take a third
Cool
one?
Cool Ray called back.
I think we've got
all right, we'll give Cool Ray,
the chance.
Cool Ray.
Hi, Cool Ray.
Hey, what's up?
Same thing that was up 30 seconds ago, except the phone dropped to you. Okay, let's go. Let's go.
So the same thing I saw with my Cavaliers last year that I saw yesterday. I love what I saw, but it's the inability for other guys. Like, well, you want to feed the hot guy. We know that. If Donovan Mitchell gets hot, feed him. If Garland gets hot, feed him.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
But it's the inability where your three-point shooters are not making the timely shots. I kept seeing it. And I really wasn't impressed with Ball's game. I don't know if it was just the way he played, but it just didn't seem like, I don't know, it's just something about his game just didn't, I didn't really like yesterday, but maybe it's just game one but of a long season. But it's just the inability for those guys to make open shots when it needed to count the most. That's what really bothered me yesterday about the game yesterday.
But I understand. The one thing about Lonzo, Cool Ray, he was one of seven. Every shot he took was a three. His three shot just wasn't going down. You know, he's not Sam Merrill. He's not Reggie Miller. But he can knock down that shot. So give him time. I love the six assists.
I do love the six assists. I love the new rookie. His name is slipping me. But I do love the rookie.
Proctor,
I love him so far. I love his energy, but it was just if I looked at last year's Cavaliers and this year's Cavaliers, it's just the inability to make the shots when it counted the most, because you climb back into that game and then you let another team, you just kept letting them, they was playing bully ball and you guys seemed like they were getting bullied, and that was the one thing that stood out, that they let the Cavs falter.
Cool Ray, I got you. Agree. All right. Let me go to Chuck in Cleveland. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, man. How we doing?
Good, good.
Good. Standing ovation. Let's go. Got in there.
We got five people in the studio clapping for you. Keep going.
So it's just two things I want to say. One is, I was one of the guys, I'm part of the group of the guys that say Darius need to go, right? And I've been saying that for like 2 years. Hey, good trade, Bay. He kind of doesn't fit in what we want to do, but after seeing yesterday's game, we couldn't get past anybody. The ball wasn't moving.
No.
Jeff, one of your favorite quotes of mine that I like is, the basketball is the most beautiful game when it's played right.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do have Darius in there, we see how much he does facilitate the ball and what we was missing in those key games last year.
You know what, Chuck? I say this and with complete sincerity, and I remember when Darius was just getting shredded on our station and everywhere else when he was a rookie, and just said, just give him time. He's a young guy, barely played in college, everything else. He's a really good NBA player. And people need to understand that. You saw that last night without him. It's just, can this fit, can this group of players get to the ultimate goal? And whether it can or can't, they're going to have to figure that out. They can adjust within. But anybody who thinks Darius just needs to go is mistaken. The only reason you get rid of him is if you think you can improve your team by bringing in a different player who works better with the other guys, maybe. Because yeah, I think Darius is terrific.
And I also want to say one thing. I also didn't want Allen to go, but now I just think Allen's to the core of his heart. He's not a dog, and he gets picked on and pushed around a lot. For the production that he gives us, you know, I would kind of rather have a guy that's just going to come in and be a Draymond type of vibe, a big tough guy down there. We need to probably trade him and just get a tough guy in here. And thanks for taking the call.
All right, thank you. We appreciate the call, Chuck.
I don't think you can have enough big guys on your team. So though Jared had a rough game, and there are moments, you know, he's a long, skinny dude, right? I mean, but Jared has some skill, and Jared can play. And if you're expecting him to be Wilt Chamberlain or, you know, Shaq, somebody like that, that's not what he is. But he's a very effective big player in the NBA, and I don't think you can have too many of those on your team. I wouldn't move him unless you decide it's time to blow this thing up. And you're certainly not in that position right now.
You know, it's just funny how you talk about this, and somebody just sent me this text, too, from Mac Perry, who said this, that Darius Garland threw Jared Allen 138 total assists last year, nearly 100 more than the next closest player. So,
well, they've got a great chemistry together.
And then throw in the fact that Max Strus was second at 47, and you're missing both those guys, too. And so maybe that changes the game.
Jared Allen gets four shots.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great stat, by the way.
The one thing to remember, big guys, although Evan Mobley now has the ball in his hands more, big guys don't pass the ball to themselves.
It's true. All right, last one, and then I want to get to the Shooter Sanders stuff. Hi, Jay, how are you?
What's up, y'all? Calling, soccer. Y'all know who I am. Appreciate your show, man. I love you guys. Listen to you every day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Darius, Donovan Mitchell, we're going to have to find a backup. This is truly a coach's game now. We pretty much took 30 points off the board with three people missing. And Donovan not going to be able to play these whole games. He will be hurt in the next five games if we don't find
I thought he was hurt for a second last night, didn't you?
Yeah.
He was laying on the ground, baseline.
When you put a player on the floor for those many minutes, you up their probability of getting injured.
Sure.
And you have to find somebody that's really close, that won't turn the ball over, and will give you the assist that you were talking about and make a few shots. This is going to be a coach's game. Like you said, Lonzo gets hurt. So we're going to have to put him in a position.
He doesn't get hurt. He's perpetually hurt, Jay. The hope is that he's found something and he's able to stay on the floor.
So we got to put him in a position where he's shooting, where he won't get hurt. So taking shots at the three-point line, taking mid-range jumpers and so forth, and not getting knocked on the ground, because we're going to need him on the floor, because I think he is crucial. I think Larry Nance, I think Nance is going to be our sleeper on the team, and he just needs to up his production probably by 5 points a game. Hey, y'all, great show.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Jay. Thank you very much. All right.
You're going to want to watch Larry's minutes, too, and keep him out there and keep him healthy.
Because of health. Yeah, because of health. That's where you're going with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just making sure. Interesting day here on the fan as the NBA and the FBI, or the FBI has indictments and all kinds of stuff going on against several people in the NBA with gambling.
In the sports industries.
Yes. That's probably
good rule of thumb to go by, kids.
Yeah.
Don't have people with initials on their clothing knock on your door.
Oh, that's excellent. Mm-hmm. Jeff, you just deliver so many...
Don't want initials knocking on your door.
Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier arrested in gambling inquiries. The league has suspended them. Also involved former Cav player and coach Damon Jones. And so, you know, all that stuff is online available. And if anything else breaks throughout the day, we'll be sure to get it to you instantly. So And I do want to go back to the Browns here because we're going to talk to Daryl Ryder coming up here in less than 20 minutes about what's going on with the Browns. So, I mean, it wouldn't be a day if we didn't talk about Shedeur Sanders and
Shedeur.
Tommy Rees was talking about him. Dan, what did Tommy Rees have to say about the Browns' backup quarterback?
Well, buckle in, kids, because this was fun.
Yeah, I think part of it's starting a rookie who you want to have those experiences as well. So, you know, Kevin obviously makes those decisions, and we talk through a lot of those. And, you know, there'll be opportunities moving forward, I'm sure. But, yeah, we'll evaluate that as it comes. You know, I think you want to, as a young quarterback, you want to put guys in really positive situations where they can build confidence and continue to look for those opportunities. But Shedeur's working hard doing what we're asking him, and he knows he needs to be ready at a moment's notice.
I'm assuming the question was, why didn't they put him in at the end of the game the other day? At least that's what it sounded like, because the beginning of it was what Kevin said the other day about Gabriel, about Dylan Gabriel, that they wanted to let him, you know, play it all the way through. And, you know, the difference between him and Joe Flacco when, you know, they took Flacco out and they put Gabriel in was, you know, they know what Joe was to this team, what he could do for this team.
He's been around 18 years.
Yeah, and so
you think one more throw in practice is going to help?
Well, I think more so it was the slop time at the end of the game.
I know, but it's still those, you know, first team reps and all that stuff.
Ah, I see. That's how it works. Okay. Anything else about Shedeur? Because everyone needs to know what's going on with Shedeur.
That will end the Shedeur Sanders portion of the program.
That was the whole thing? Oh, you got me so excited.
Was it? Yeah.
I thought there was more
question
to it.
Question being more reps for Shedeur Sanders was being asked there, getting him first team reps and all that fun stuff. And that was Tommy Rees's answer.
You know the one thing that drives me nuts about this?
Oh, man, talk about, like, the hype. I thought those were going to get all this great stuff. He's going to be like, yeah, you know, he's working on this. And, you know, we consider when you go up against the first-team defense, those are really first-team reps if you think about it.
The one thing that drives me nuts about this, there's so many folks who think there's a conspiracy going on here to keep Shedeur off the field. Rather than thinking this, hey, we liked the guy because we drafted him. Nobody else did. We drafted him. And we don't think he's quite ready yet, so we're trying to maximize his opportunity to succeed in the NFL by bringing him along at the pace that we think will be most advantageous for him and for us. Because we hope he becomes a stud. That narrative's not out there very much.
No.
And it drives me nuts, because if they thought he was ready to go and be the man, Andy, he'd be out there right now. Doesn't mean he might not be one day, and he could end up being phenomenal. I sure hope he does. It'd be awesome. Are you kidding me? Add him to the list of, wow, can you believe Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick and Brock Purdy went in the seventh and Shedeur Sanders went in the fifth? Wouldn't that be great? That would be great. The Browns aren't intentionally trying to do anything but help the guy. And I think that gets overlooked.
So I'm going to read a tweet to you, and then I want you to answer this. And so,
oh, good.
This is a social media message, Dan, in case you were wondering, that I just happened to catch. I caught one. This has to do with what we're talking about. So
all of our social media mentions are brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Thank you.
You can always contact the show at CLE Talking Heads.
Yeah, good man, good man. Julius said, I question everything they do concerning Shedeur, and, you know, we are praying daily.
Praying for what?
For him to play.
I'm praying for him to play when he's ready. I was looking through our mentions. Praying for him to be phenomenal.
Wait. She wants him to play.
Well, good.
I just,
you don't want him to play before he's ready and he goes out and doesn't succeed. And that, apparently, along with their like of Dylan Gabriel, is why he's not playing right now. You know, it is pro sports. Sometimes teams like players more than other players. That happens in sports, folks.
Really?
Yeah, sure does.
Hmm.
I know it happened to me all the time when I played.
I think the only way he's getting on the field is if Gabriel's hurt. That's it.
Well, or if Dylan doesn't play well.
And when Daryl comes on later, because he tweeted something about this yesterday, I wonder where they are in the Deshaun Watson issue and where he might be.
Is there an issue?
If he is healthy enough to play, would he go back out on the field? This is the never-ending question as well. This haunts us the same way as why did you bring four quarterbacks into camp in the first place? Why did you haunt?
Andy, that's real clear.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, tell me why it's clear that they brought four quarterbacks in the beginning.
You were hoping, hey, we can spin these guys into fifth round picks, baby.
Oh, that's how it works. I didn't realize this. You sit here and I thought I was about to get chastised.
All we did was pay for a hotel room for Kenny Pickett and we got a fifth. Wait a minute. We
months worth of hotel room.
Yeah. He didn't eat much in the cafeteria. We saved money. Got a fifth.
What would it take for fans to buy in to Gabriel? What would it take? 300-yard game? Three touchdowns?
Looking like a guy who inspires us to say anything other than, he was okay. That's what.
There's no love for Gabriel. There's just none.
Why do you think we did the whole equal time for Dylan Gabriel shtick?
But I thought it was a shtick. You know, I'm like, it's the beginning of the season.
But guess what it was based in?
I didn't think it was in reality.
Yes.
What would it take for you to actually like Gabriel? I think it's got to be, and for people to say, okay, I'm going to give him a chance. He's a rookie. He's had three starts. He just got his first win. I can buy into this. I can accept this. I kind of realize that he's doing a pretty good job without really having any wide receivers, that his offensive line has been hurt for most of the season, that they went seven games and yet have had seven different lineups among their five offensive linemen. Like, at what point do you think someone's going to have to say, you know what? I'm buying into this. I'm buying into it. I just don't see it. The only time Browns fans actually liked him, probably for a moment, was the moment before, in every pick before they took Shedeur Sanders.
I think that's a push because everybody said, why'd you take this guy that high?
I think so too, but at least it was like, okay, well, here's this guy, because it would have been much different at camp if it was just been Pickett, Flacco, and Gabriel. And people were like, I wonder what Gabriel's going to look like. That would have been the end of it.
Or Pickett, Flacco, and Sanders.
Okay, or Pickett, Flacco, and Sanders. You can have that too. Because neither one of them matter because they got rid of the first two guys.
But we got a couple of fifths, baby.
Sorry. Is there anybody that likes Gabriel?
Yes.
I think he's doing an okay job.
His parents speak very highly of him. His dad's a football coach.
And that's it.
No, Andy, I think he's shown that he can play in the league. He has shown that he can be here a long time. What he hasn't shown yet is that he's anybody's franchise quarterback. Can he?
Have they put him in a position to look like a franchise quarterback?
He's only been here three games. I mean, he's played three games. So, no, not absolutely not. Anybody who rushes to judgment, yes or no, that he can or can't play, either knows something about what's coming down the road or isn't being patient enough. I mean, he's going to show us, Andy, eventually this year maybe. Can he be the guy or is he not? And right now, I think the question is, I think that's the answer. I really do.
I know that when we talk to Daryl Ryder in about 9 minutes,
Daryl's not a fan.
No, not at all. Like, doesn't think he belongs there at all.
Daryl's already made his judgment, and that's okay. You're allowed to do that. I haven't made my judgment yet. If I look at him and watch him play, I think, this guy really knows what he's doing. He smells like a backup quarterback. You know, to me, so far, okay, and I have to give that caveat to it because it's unfair otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
To me right now, he screams Colt McCoy. He screams Tyrod Taylor. He screams Case Keenum.
Todd Filcox, you gonna throw him in there?
Nope, he's better than Todd Filcox.
Okay, good. All right.
That's the kind of guy that he appears to be to me. And guess what? Those three guys have made a heck of a lot of money playing football in the NFL. Can he become more than that? That's the question. We'll see. That's the question, and we'll find out the answer.
Yeah, I just, we sit and we watch, and the defense played out of their minds on Sunday. And I just feel like he hasn't really, they've sent him out there to manage the game. That's it. And not do anything more.
So far.
And maybe that's right. Maybe that's what you do for a quarterback that's only been starting for three games.
Well, remember what I said about Shedeur trying to set a guy up to succeed, Andy?
Yeah.
They're doing the same with Dylan. They're trying to help him succeed. Now, having him drop back 58 times against the Steelers was not the way to do that, but that's kind of what's, you know, it seems to me they're trying to maximize his ability to run the offense well and to let him figure it out a little bit. That's okay, folks. That's okay. And again, if anybody thought they drafted a surefire franchise quarterback in the third or the fifth round, you're mistaken, because guys taken outside of the first round in the NFL, certainly outside of the second round, need developmental time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.